Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
All right. So good to see you today. You may be seated. Wow, what a joy to be here. The highlight of the year is to come to the Church on the Rock. This church definitely does rock, and it's so good to be here with all. And this time I brought with me my wife. We've been married for 57 years. Amen. I'd rather fight than switch. Amen. Marta, stand up. Turn around. This is my Swedish wife. She came from Sweden to fly for Scandinavian Airlines, came to one of my services the first week she was there and got gloriously saved. And I said, honey, forget the airlines and come fly with me. Amen. And we've been flying ever since around the world, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a joy to be here. I feel like I'm part of this family. I love you all very, very much. And I tell you, there is no pastors like Pastor David and Ken Blunt in the world. This is the only church that my wife will go with me during the year. She goes once a year, and she wants to come to this church to be with the Blunts. Amen. Thank God. And I'm so proud of you. Thank you for sharing that story. You made my day. If that's all that ever happened in our ministry, to be a part of being a blessing to you and see how God has used this great church. This church has influenced the world. This church that has supported the Dream Center so faithfully, even through the pandemic. Let me just tell you this. Did you know that in 1 year during the pandemic, my son corrected me the way I say that, all right. But in 1 year, they passed out 5 million meals during this time. 5 million meals. That's a lot of meals. And it couldn't happen without churches like this great church being a part of it. And I love to be here. You know, things never change. I was the other day invited to be a part of the new Promise Keepers. They had their first big rally in the Dallas Stadium. Of course, that was where Jerry Jones built his great, great house there. And so they asked me to come and be a part of it since I am on the board. And they put us up in those beautiful places that Jerry Jones set. We stayed in his box up there. Now I got hungry. They fed me all that foo-foo. I want some real good food, you know, like chili and hot dogs and barbecue. And, you know, that stuff is really healthy. I wanted it. And so I left the boxes and I walked down. A man stopped me and said, sir, would you sign my program? And I thought, boy, you know, people know me here. This Christian organization here, you know, Promise Keepers. So as I began to sign it, he said, I want to tell you, I am so proud of the house that you have built here. He thought I was Jerry Jones, amen. And suddenly a line began to form. And so I began to sign there. So I just got in the mood and said, Jerry Jones, alias Tommy Barnett, amen. So when I was leaving the place, and people were saying goodbye, goodbye. You know, I just let them have a good time. The only difference, I'm a lot better looking than Jerry Jones, but that's another story. And as I walked out, there was a bunch of college-age girls that worked there. You know, they had the green vest, the yellow vest on, and they were guidance and so forth. And, of course, they worked for Mr. Jones. And as I walked out, there they were, and they saw me coming. And I saw them whispering. I know who they thought I was. So I walked by, and I said, girls, you did a good job. Take off tomorrow. You'll get a raise. And I walked up. And they just, they cheered and they squealed. And then one of them recognized that I really wasn't Jerry Jones. And they went, boo. So I had my 15 seconds of fame. But I tell you, it's great to be a child of God. I tell you, I make a better Jerry Jones than he would a Tommy Barnett. Can you imagine somebody going up to him and saying, "Would you pray for me?" Thinking that he was me. So enough foolishness, and I'm ready to preach if you're ready to receive it. Amen. Yeah. Father, I pray for the next few minutes that you'll bless this message. I do not ask for the joy of preaching a great message, but I have a great truth. And I pray, God, that this truth will come alive in this service, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. When I was just a child, and I go over to my friend's house to play, my mother would always say to me, "Now, don't ask anything when you get there because that's improper." Funny thing was that when they come over to our house and the boy would ask for something to eat, mother would always feed him. But we were taught not to ask, don't ask. We're brought up in a culture that said, don't ask. And now, when I got a little bit older, we were taught again, even if you have friends and you need their help, but do not ask because that would be inappropriate. Then we were taught, even in our family, not to ask because that could be a burden to our family. We were taught when you go to school, even though you do not know the answer, don't ask because you might appear being very dumb. We were taught at work, even if you don't understand, don't ask. And then one day when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and He becomes your provider, He becomes your source and your Savior, we've been taught not to ask Him either, because we'll appear greedy or ungrateful for all the things that He's done in our life. And after all, we wouldn't impose upon God as if we could. Now in James chapter 4, James addresses this issue. So let's dive right into it. Verse 1. "For whence come wars and famines among you?" And when we think about wars here, we think about World War number 1 or World War number 2 or Korea or Vietnam or even the present struggle we're in. But that's not what he's talking about. He said, "Where do wars and fights come from among you?" Circle the word "you." He said, "Where do wars and fights come among you?" And the word "wars" there in the little translation means strife. The word "fighting" there is better translated contention. And so he says, "Where does strife and contention come from among you?" And that is the major question that's in the world today. If I could provide the answer to this question, we would have solved the number one problem of society today. Think with me just a minute. How many marriages have been destroyed because of strife and contention? How many relationships have been destroyed because of strife and contention? How many businesses, how many churches were destroyed because of strife and contention? James said, "Where does that come from?" Would you like to know where that came from? I'd like to know. It solved a lot of problems I have as a pastor of church with many, many campuses. So let's see if James has the answer. Verse 1. "Come they hence even of your lusts that war against your members?" And the word "lust" there means love of pleasure. Read on. "That war in your members for you lust." And the word "lust" there means that you covet. Verse 2. "For you covet and have not." He says you covet things, but the coveting does not get them for you. Read on. "You kill and desire to have, and still you cannot obtain it." He says you covet and you kill and you desire to have, And all of these things trying to do what? Trying to get what you want. But he goes on to say, you fight, and that word there translated means you strive, you quarrel, you argue. And yet he said, you still have not. Look at everything that we'll do. We'll go to war. We'll destroy. We'll kill. We'll envy. We'll covet. But he said, none of these things are not going to get what you want, because you still have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. Say it with me. You have not. Say it real loud. You have not because you ask not. Now we'll do everything else. We'll do everything in relationships, in churches, in jobs, and families. We'll go to war with each other. We'll fight. We'll get in scraps. We'll strive. We'll quarrel. We'll covet. We'll be envious. But James says all that won't get it. The reason James says is very simple. You have not because you ask not. And do you know why we don't ask? Because we've been praying. Trained, don't ask. Oh, it's okay to get mad, get in fights, covet, go to war, destroy relationships, but don't ask. And then James takes us to a new level, and I don't want you to miss this. He says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. And the word amiss there means you ask badly or improperly, that you might consume it on your lust or your love of personal pleasure. So let me explain these verses real quickly one more time. He said there's two reasons why you don't have the things that you want in your life. Number one, we ask amiss, or we ask wrongly. We ask for the wrong things sometimes. Sometimes we ask for things that we have the wrong motive in heart to do. Hear me now. Church, when you became a Christian, you were given a higher level of living. Remember what Jesus said. He said, if you'll come after me, you'll have to give up the old life, the low life, and I'm going to give you a higher life, a higher way of living. Church, we are called to do a higher level of living. It's okay for the unsaved people to only want for themselves. But when you become a child of God, your life becomes bigger than that. Your life becomes bigger than these present life, because you're living for a life that's bigger than this life. You're living for eternity. You see, we are not now just blessed to be blessed. We are blessed to be a blessing. Yeah, that's right. And that's what becomes now the center of our life. That becomes the core of our life. That's what drives us and motivates us. Why are you a child of God? You're a child of God so you can be blessed. Yes, that's true. But you stop too soon. You are blessed, the Bible said, so you can become a blessing. Why did God say that he would pour you out a blessing that you didn't have room enough to even receive it? Is God's nature is that he's a waster? No. You see, we were never made to contain God's presence. You see, God blesses us with blessings that we cannot contain, so we can bless somebody else. And where we get in trouble with our asking is when our motivation is driven by our own sense of personal pleasure or blessing, instead of this sense of stewardship, this sense of responsibility, this sense that God has given us to bless somebody else. You see, it's not enough to say, God, just give me enough for my own needs, and that's all I want. That is wrong. You may say, well, I'm just being very unselfish. What about the guy that I'm supposed to help? What about the guy that I'm supposed to be a blessing to? What about him? Now, if all that I'm concerned about is my own personal blessing, I am praying amiss. We just came out of our 21 years of fasting and prayer. It is at 6 o'clock in the morning that we gather together for that time, and the church was filled with just hundreds and hundreds of people. It was a glorious event. But one day, my heart was heavy. There was something that I was facing in my life that had burdened me down. After the prayer meeting, I stopped by a little convenience store. There were a lot of immigrants, a lot of migrants, a lot of people that worked as landscapers. A very poor clientele would go to that place. So I stopped to get a newspaper and a cup of coffee. And when I went up to pay, there was a lady in front of me. She was trying to get a few dollars out, and now she was down to her pennies to try to pay for the $10, but she had less than $10. And she was struggling. And of course, I did what any child of God would do. I simply said to the man, look, let me give some money for the gas. And she turned around and looked at me and said, Pastor Barnett, well, I'm sure glad I bought her that gas. Amen. And she just thanked me and thanked me. And I looked behind me, and there were, apparently they were migrants. They were landscapers. And they had stopped, and there were about four of them, and they had a little bottle of drink, and they had some potato chips and a few things. And I felt so good, I said, well, let's just pay for all these four guys. And so I said, if you need anything else, get it. And then I turned to pay, and I looked, and the line was really big. Amen. I got in my car. And I think I had the best day. This is a big statement of my life. You see, that little burden that I have was no longer there. And I learned something here. I'm 84 years of age. And listen to me. It took me all these years to realize that I've got the answer to depression. I've got the answer to the blue flu. I've got the answer. You can spend millions of dollars on psychologists and counselors and everything else. But every time I get blue, you know what I do? I find somebody that has a need, and I give it to them, and I leave. Come on, say a good amen out there. See, I'm trying to tell you that we were blessed to be a blessing, but when you give, it comes down, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Say a good amen out there. So I need to also be asking, not only for my own needs to be met, but for me to have enough to bless somebody else. Therefore, I cannot be afraid of being blessed so I can become a blessing. In that little church in Davenport, Iowa, that you talked about, our church began to explode. We grew from 76 to people to over 4,000 in 8 years. And you know, there are a lot of pastors in town that weren't very pleased about that. It doesn't mean they were a bad person. Human nature is human nature. And they used to say little things. Well, that's just surface evangelism. It's the numbers game. Always got a bunch of little snotty-nosed bus kids that nobody else wants. I heard that. But one day it hit me. I said to someone, you know, if they dislike me because of my disposition, that's my fault. But if they dislike me because of my position, I cannot help that. Now, if they get jealous of me because of my coat of many colors, don't get mad at me. Get mad at my father. He gave them to me. And there are churches you can go to that'll get up and bash people that have been blessed. Maybe people have made a lot of money, and that they make them feel guilty because God has blessed them. Oh, not me. I pray that you all prosper and be in good health. Come on, say a good amen. Because it's wrong not to be the best you can, so that we can be a blessing. Oh, I'm preaching good. Amen. You see, our asking, according to the scripture, must also include the good of other people as well as ourselves. Otherwise, the Bible said we're asking amiss. We're asking improperly. I wonder if anybody else in this audience have ever asked for things that your motivation was all wrong. Now, don't leave me hanging up here by myself. Amen. I mean, you're not Snow White that I'm preaching to. It's more like the seven dwarfs. Amen, you know. You see, my motivation was wrong. And sometimes what I was asking for was completely scriptural, but my motivation was wrong. I was asking for it out of envy, out of strife, or maybe competition. I was asking amiss. You see, scripturally, anything that we ask for must not only benefit ourselves, but it must benefit other people too. Why were you filled with the Holy Spirit? Was it because you could just sing and shout and dance about? You were blessed so you could be a blessing. Did God send Jesus to the cross so that we could be healed? Of course he did. But didn't he also say that now you should lay hands upon the sick and they should recover? You were blessed that you might be a blessing. And I could go on and on and on and on. It's all through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. So the first thing that Jesus teaches us in the scripture is, number one, you don't receive because you ask amiss. The second thing that he teaches is this, but you don't even ask. Forget the amiss part. But you just don't even ask. Because we've been taught, don't ask, don't ask, don't ask. And so we go through life missing out all the benefits that God has placed there for his people. Now we'll go to war. And I've seen marriages go to war. I've seen them kill and destroy perfectly good families. And when they get to the pastor's office for counseling, which is usually the last stop before they go to the lawyer, many times as it all gets worked out, it was simply a misunderstanding, a lack of communication, because nobody would ask the question. Oh, we'll go to war. We'll get in strife. They'll kill, destroy, covet, and be envious. But we won't ask. And James says, why don't you understand? You have not, because you ask not. And so the remainder of the time that I have, I want to change your thinking. I want you to go from somebody that doesn't ask, and I want you to become a master asker. And since all of our life, we've been brainwashed, don't ask, don't ask, don't ask. It has even stopped us from asking, and as a result, we go through life without the benefit of asking. And this really messes us up in our lives, in our relationships. For example, how about your relationship with God? I wonder how many times that we needed God's help, but we didn't even ask because we've been taught, don't ask. Don't even ask. But you know what you get when you don't ask? That's right, nothing. You have not because you ask not. Now here's what happened. Don't miss this. We need God's help. We need it bad. But we don't ask. And when you don't ask, then you're not going to get it. So what do? We go to war against God. Pastor, you're kidding. I know people that are warring against God. There's strife between them and God. because they thought that if he knew what they needed, that he would do it. But God said, you have not because you ask not. When my children were little, they would come up to me someday and say, Dad, could I have a quarter? I say, Dad, do you have a quarter? And I'd say, yes. And then I'd just stand there. Dad, do you have a quarter? And I'd say, yes. And this would go on and on. Dad, did you hear me? Do you have a quarter? Yes. I wanted them to say, Dad, can I have a quarter? I want them to need me. I wanted to bless them. I wanted the joy of being their provider. But I didn't give it to them until they said, Dad, could I have a quarter? Isn't this amazing? There are times that we need God's forgiveness, but we won't even ask for it. I met a man in Australia a few years ago, and he had this terrible thing in his life. And I said, you ever ask God to forgive you? And he said, no. And I said, then why? He said, because I've asked him to forgive me before, and I went back to it. And again, I asked him, I went back to it, and I'm embarrassed. And you know what? I knew exactly what he was feeling. Because there were times in my own life that I felt embarrassed because I'd asked God for forgiveness of something and then maybe slipped back into it. And I just felt like, you know, it's a little hard to ask again. You see, we just want God to forgive us without asking. But God says you have not because you ask not. And if you don't ask for forgiveness from God, you're not going to get it. And there are people in this building that need God's forgiveness bad. There are times in our life that we need God's strength, but we don't ask. There are times that we need God's direction, and it's available, but we won't ask. There are times that we need his wisdom. And he said, if any man would ask for wisdom, he would give it to us, but we won't even ask. There are times that we need restoration. And David said that he restoreth our soul, but we will not ask. There are times that we need courage, money, and peace. There are times that we need the Holy Spirit. But pastor, if God wants me to have the Holy Spirit, he knows where I live. Oh, hush. Because in Luke chapter 11, it said that if you have need of God, you have to ask him. You have to ask to be filled. I'm trying to tell you that we need to become master askers. And sometimes we're messed up. We need forgiveness of our relatives, our friends, or people. And we just assume that because we made a mistake, that they knew that we knew we made a mistake, and they assume that they're just going to forgive us. But the next time we meet them, they are kind of funny. So what do? We go to war. We destroy relationships. When it all could have been solved if we would have just asked. Well, we'll go to war. And what about your job? You thought the boss overlooked you and you're mad because you didn't get the raise when you could just have asked. I'm telling you, folks, we need to become master askers. This came really alive to me when Katrina hit several years ago in Louisiana. And I remember Matthew came to me and said, Dad, I want to bring these people out to the Dream Center. I want to bring 300 families. And I said, son, we don't have the money for that. He said, Dad, I'm surprised at you. I've heard you preach money follows ministry. I hate it when they use my preaching against me. So finally, we said, okay. And shortly after that, a man came in from the Kabbalah religion. Didn't the Bible say he'd take the wealth of the wicked and give it to the righteous? And he walked in and said, I'm going to pay for all the jets, private jets, to fly these people out. And they started coming. For 1 year, we made the promise that we'd take care of these people, and we did. We're where's the money going to come from? I sent out a letter saying, I'd like to ask you to help us out. The Four Square answered, and they sent $100,000. Dr. Cho, I heard, had taken an offering of many million dollars for that cause. And I wrote him a letter, and he sent $100,000. A church, Covina, sent $100,000. TBN heard about it. They gave $200,000. And then there was Daystar, and Jensen Franklin said to me, they should do a telethon for you. I said, yeah. He said, I'll ask. And he asked. He's a fair-haired boy. How many know that? And we did a telethon, and they gave us over $200,000. We still needed money. And I'd spoken at a church in Singapore. Matter of fact, two churches in Singapore. They were very, very affluent, very, very generous people. So I said to my associate, Dale Lane, send a letter and ask them if they'd like to participate. But you know what? He sent it to the wrong church. The church that didn't have all the money. Amen. And they responded with a $100,000 check. Amen. You have not. Because you ask now. I'm beginning to wind this sermon up. I'm going to read some scriptures to you, and the word ask is in every one of them. And I want you to follow along with me. When I get to that ask part, I want you to yell it out. Come on. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? John 14, verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You missed the S there. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will what you desire. This sounds like a faith church to me. Amen. John chapter 15 and verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And appointed you, you should go and bear fruit. And that fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father, he will give it to you. I need to slow down, don't I? Amen. 1 John 5, verse 14. Now this is a confidence that we have in him. That if you ask anything according to his will, he hears it. What is God's will for your life? John chapter 10, verse 10. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's his will. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask. Are you think, according to the power that is working within you, there's a power in us that is working. But the way you activate that power is that you ask in Jesus' name. So if what are you asking for is his will and his purpose without envy, strife, or competition. You could and you should be asking and expecting to receive. And not only ask for the answer, but ask God to bless you in ways that you can become a blessing. I close with this illustration. My wife that I brought with me has a black belt. Yeah, a black belt in asking, okay? We were at the mall not too long ago, and I'd rather go through 10 years of the tribulation than go to the mall, my wife, amen? I mean, men, I'm going to preach the truth. And all the men said, you guys are checking your wife. I said, listen, that was pretty weak. It really was. So I was buying a suit. And I finally picked out a nice suit. And it was on these big old thick hangers, you know, real nice. And when you have these big broad shoulders like I do. Now it hurts me when you laugh that way. I want you to know that. I said, honey, I wish I had about a dozen of those. She said, well, I'll just ask him to give us some. Oh, I said, no, Look, they're expensive. Those are for show. Oh, I'll ask her. So she, I said, no, 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 no. And I got embarrassed. I went around the corner. Hey, man. I was breaking out with Hythe. My 10-day deodorant was breaking through. And pretty soon she came around the corner and she had two bags, one on each side. And she'd gotten about two dozen of those hangers. I said, honey, I said, how did you have enough nerve to ask that man to give you those deals? Oh, she said, he wanted to give them to me. He just didn't know it. And I thought, God has so much that he wants to give you, but you just don't know it. The way to get in heaven's frequency is to ask. I want you to get this tape and listen again. Ways not to ask, but how to ask to get the hand of God moving. And there are people in this building right now. I want to talk to people spiritually that need God. You're brokenhearted. You're depressed. Your children are breaking your heart. The doctor gave you the news that it's terminal. You can't pay the bills. I'm talking to people in this building that when you see the war taking place and Putin's talking about sending a nuclear bomb on this country if you don't do, and he didn't like what we're doing, you get fearful. But I want to tell you, you can walk out of this building with what you've been looking for. The peace and the joy is not found in another relationship. It's not found in fame or money or prestige. What you've been looking for is right here in this building. And you'll get it by asking God to forgive you of your sins. The Holy Spirit's moving here, and there are people that the answer's right at the next of the door. It's here. If you just ask, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking about. I'm going to quickly ask for the hands of those in this building who'll say, Pastor, thank you for preaching this message. I really didn't understand it. I'm talking about good people. You've come to this church for years, but you just never ask him. You can't remember when you ask him to forgive you and accept you. This is the morning to do it. I'm talking to people who think guilty to ask God again. This is your breakthrough day. It's there. It's as simple as saying, God, I ask you, please forgive me. Blot this out. There are people that just need God bad, and you need him bad. If that's you, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed and no one is looking around this building, I'm going to ask you in a minute, just slip your hand up when I ask you to and say, Pastor, would you please pray for me? Thank you for preaching this message. I really need God. Would you just pray for me? You really spoke to my need. While every head is bowed, every eye's closed, no one's looking in this building. When I ask you to raise your hand, I believe they're going to go up all over this building. Are you ready? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Put your hand up right now and say, Pastor, pray for me. One, yes, two, three, four. They're going up. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. This is beautiful. Keep, oh, there's so many here today. Raise them real high. Pastor, pray for me. I need God. I need him bad. I do. I'm not going to hesitate any longer. If you meant business, and I believe you did, I believe it's going to be 100%, I want to pray for you. And this church wants to pray for you. We love you. We all want to help you. And there are many of you. You'll not be embarrassed. I want everybody that's not ashamed of God that raise their hand and they want to be delivered. They want their prayers to be answered. I want you to just get up right now. Come on and come to this front and stand right here. And I'm going to pray for you. Come on, get up. I believe it's going to be 100%. I believe it's going to. Come on over here. I saw some back here. Yes, yes. Give the Lord a good clap offering. They're coming. Keep, come on, clap as long as they come. Oh, they're still coming. Come on. Keep rejoicing. Keep clapping. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is beautiful, 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 beautiful. Move up here as close as you can. I want anybody that say, well, I know God, I love God, but Pastor, I just have a need today. Get up right now. We're going to pray for you. Come stand right here at the front right now. Everybody stand. No one leaving out of respect to the Holy Spirit. And now, the Bible said that if we will ask God to forgive us of our sins, that He will forgive us. So I'm going to ask every one of you to join me in a prayer. It's called the prayer of repentance. The Bible said when it's prayed with a genuine, sincere heart, that God hears and God forgives. Oh, this is a beautiful moment. It's about to happen. It's as simple as having a heart that's repentant and just ask God, would you please forgive me? Lord, have you got a quota? Amen. And God says, oh, I'm so happy they ask. I no longer will forgive them of their sins, but I'm going to walk with them and I'm going to be their friend and their life's going to be changed forever. So I'm going to ask every one of you standing here at the front to join me in this simple prayer of repentance. And I want you out there to know God to join in loud and strong. I want it to thunder because this is the moment Jesus died for. So together, everyone repeat with me loud and strong. Dear God, I have sinned and I need a Savior. You said in your word that if I would ask you, you would forgive me. And I know you don't lie. So I repent of my sins and I ask you to forgive me, God. Today I receive that forgiveness and I'm going to raise my hands right now and I'm going to thank you, Lord, that you are now my Savior and you are now my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Say it loud, thank you, Jesus. Everybody raise your hands and give the Lord a good praise. Come on, let me hear a shout of joy. Come on, praise the Lord right now.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week and don't forget that God is for you.